This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott.
Now, my mama's always telling me how miracles happen every day. Some people don't think so.
Jenny!
But they do.
Sorry, Forrest Gump. According to statistician David Hand, miracles happen about once a month. Moreover, what we consider a miracle is really just a mathematical probability. He digs into the data on that and other supposed flukes in his new book, The Improbability Principle, Why Coincidences, Miracles, and Rare Events Happen Every Day. David Hand is Emeritus Professor of Mathematics and Senior Research Investigator at Imperial College in London and joins us now on Word of Mouth. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
So first of all, what is the improbability principle?
Okay, I encapsulate the improbability principle in a single sentence. Improbable events are commonplace. It's obviously a sort of contradiction from that. But what it really says is that these extraordinary coincidences, highly improbable events, things that you would expect never to see because they're so improbable, in fact, do happen and happen with a startling frequency. People winning the lottery twice, or let me take another example, with the same lottery numbers coming up 1 week after another, exactly the same numbers, jackpot winning numbers coming up. You would think that that's so unlikely it's not going to happen.
And
but
that's
it has happened. It has happened. It's happened more than once, yes. It happened in 2009 in the Bulgarian state lottery, for instance. The numbers came up once, and then just in the next draw, just a few days later, exactly the same numbers came up, caused a national outcry. The Bulgarian sports minister ordered an investigation. But it's the sort of thing you should expect to happen according to the improbability principle.
Now, can you really put a number on how often these miraculous or highly improbable events occur?
You can. Some sort of events are easier to put numbers on than others. Lotteries are quite easy to put numbers on because they're stripped away of all the sort of uncertainties and ambiguities of definitions. You know how many lottery tickets there are. You can calculate the probability that any one will be a winner. You can therefore calculate the probability that identical numbers will come up. So for that sort of example, it's easy to put a number on it. For others, like the chance of being killed by lightning, which is obviously a rare event, one hopes, it's also possible to put numbers on them, but harder. And then for other things, the probability of two related people being involved in train crashes, for instance, which is one of the examples in my book, it's tougher still. So you can put numbers on them, but as you drift away from things which are, in some sense, purely mathematical, lotteries or tossing coins or throwing dice or playing cards or whatever, to things which involve humans more, it becomes tougher to put numbers on. But you can still talk about ballpark figures. You can say, is this, in fact, quite likely, or is it a one in a million or a one in a billion sort of chance?
Well, I guess we've all experienced strange coincidences, you know, maybe running into somebody that we were just thinking about quite randomly. And we remember those. We remember the sort of hits and, I guess, forget all of the misses. How often do those hits really happen?
Yes, you've put your finger on something there. The improbability principle consists of five sort of mathematical type laws, but that's coupled with the human tendency to notice certain things, ignore the many other things, the many millions of other events which are sort of boiling and buzzing around us, and just select the ones which have sort of meaning for us. So that you look at these and think, wow, what's the chance of that, ignoring all the other stuff that's going on? And I think there's a very good evolutionary sort of reason for us recognizing, noticing, and paying attention to these sorts of things. And it's that we've evolved to notice patterns so that, for instance, if you see the movement in the grass, you think, uh-oh, there's a tiger there, I might get eaten, and you run away. If we hadn't evolved in this way, we wouldn't survive.
Has that impulse, however, for the miraculous changed over time? I mean, now we live in an era where we have so much data that is available to us, and a quick Google search could explain a coincidence, let's say. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you think that's changed in the age of, you know, statistics and Nate Silver?
I would like to think it has, but I'm sure it hasn't. We're still human beings. And I suppose this is illustrated by the fact that when I see one of these rare coincidences, so for instance, I had an experience a few years ago, 2012, I went to the Royal Statistical Society conference in Telford, a town in the UK, and I went up to the reception desk to register, and I said, I'm David Hand. And she said, "You're the second David Hand with us this week." Mm-hmm. And I thought, good Lord, how extraordinary. What a coincidence. I must arrange to meet this other, this imposter. So you still are amazed by it, even if you can understand the numbers behind it.
We're speaking about The Improbability Principle. It's a new book by David Hand. He's an emeritus professor of mathematics. He's helping to explain why coincidences, miracles, and rare events actually happen every single day. Can the improbability principle explain why some people think they're lucky and others think they're unlucky?
Yes, I think it can. I mean, if you look at chance events happening to people around the world, even if we all had the same degree of luck, so good events and bad events were happening to all of us at the same sort of rate, purely by chance, some of those people would experience in a given day, for instance, more good events, and other people would experience more bad events. And to them, as individuals, it would look like, wow, everything that happens to me is good. I'm just very lucky. And for the other guys, they'd think, wow, everything that happens to me is bad. You know, life is a disaster. But it's just random variation. Just chance. So it's like flipping a coin. If I have 100 people all flipping coins, some people are going to get a lot of strings of heads in a row, others are going to get a lot of strings of tails in a row. Most people are going to get a nice mix of the things. But there are going to be these people with lots of heads and lots of tails.
All right, so let's talk about somebody who sounds pretty unlucky, a man named Roy Sullivan. You write about him in the book. He was struck by lightning not once, but 8 times. So maybe it's a sign for him to spend more time inside. But you say that this fact is not that improbable. Why?
Yeah, he's a nice example of one of the other laws of the improbability principle, the law of the probability lever. So in America, the chance of being hit by lightning is 1 in 3 million. Mm-hmm. About 100 people in America are killed by lightning every year. It's a pretty small number. So to get hit by lightning so many times over the course of your life, you would think, yeah, he must be a really unfortunate guy, right out in the tails of a distribution, very, very unlucky. And that would be true if he was sort of a random representative person from America. He spent most of his time driving to the office, working in the office, and so on. But it turns out, in fact, that he was a park ranger. He spent most of his time wandering around Virginia Park across fields. He's much more likely to be struck by lightning with that sort of job. So what's happened is that the circumstances, the conditions have been slightly shifted away from one's perceptions. He's not what one might call a normal person working in an office. He does something which predisposes him, makes him particularly vulnerable to this sort of event. So for him, it wasn't so unlikely, and that was demonstrated by him being struck so many times.
It's another great story in the book about Sir Anthony Hopkins. Would you tell that to us?
Of course, yeah. So in 1972, Anthony Hopkins was playing a starring role in a film called The Girl from Petrovka, based on George Pfeiffer's book. And Hopkins went to London to buy a copy of the book. He went around all the bookstores but couldn't find a copy, so he'd given up, and he was waiting for a tube train to go home when he saw a book on the seat next to him. He picked it up and saw it was, in fact, a copy of The Girl from Petrovka, the very book he'd been looking for. He looked inside it and saw some annotations. Somebody had written some notes in the book. And later, when he met the author, George Pfeiffer, he showed him this book. George Pfeiffer looked at these notations in the book and said, "Good Lord, this is a copy of the book I was making corrections, changes to, amending the English spelling to American spelling. And I lent it to a friend, and my friend lost it." This had been months before Anthony Hopkins found it. But somehow it had travelled through time and space back to George Pfeiffer, the very same copy of the book. There's a corollary to this, in fact. After I'd spoken about this same anecdote some time ago, the author, George Pfeiffer, contacted me. He emailed me and said, "Yes, that's what happened, and we're trying to arrange to meet up."
What a story. But I wonder if that gives us some hope, doesn't it, in some way, Professor Hand, this idea that miracles can happen. For example, the statistics would tell us we're really unlikely to win the lottery, but we keep continuing to play and buy tickets. What does this improbability offer us in the way of hope?
It does, doesn't it? It offers us hope. And indeed, that's why people continue to play the lottery. But I think for any particular one individual winning the lottery, you know, the chance is still very small. There are strategies you can adopt which will increase either your chance, or either the amount you win were you to win, or indeed your probability of winning. But the probabilities are still pretty small. And if you do want to make a fortune, That's not a particular route I would recommend.
But rationality, on the other hand, reducing all of this miraculous, coincidental kismet to mathematics is kind of a bummer.
this is my point, really. I don't think it is. I don't think it detracts from the sense of wonder. When one of these things happens to me, I don't think, yeah, well, I would have expected it. My first reaction is always, gosh, wow. You know, what an extraordinary thing. So the first time I went to New Zealand, I was just sitting in a cafe and I noticed that the two people, the complete strangers, sitting at the neighbouring table, one of them gave a business card to the other one, and it was a business card from my own university in the UK. I had no idea who they were, but clearly they were from the same institution back home. And I thought, wow, what's the chance of that? And, you know, you can then do the calculations and work out the chance of that and decide whether it is so improbable after all. The initial shock, as it were, the initial amazement is still there.
Well, David Hand, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
David Hand, Emeritus Professor of Mathematics and a Senior Research Investigator at Imperial College in London. He's author of the book The Improbability Principle, Why Coincidences, Miracles, and Rare Events Happen Every Day. We do have a link to more on the book at wordofmouthradio.org. Up next, we continue to press our luck with a look into the world of online sweepstakes. Yes, people really do win those things. That's when Word of Mouth returns after a short break.